The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them. Those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Leslie. It's a real pleasure to be coming to the listeners of radio station XEG once again with another gospel broadcast. This is the Mission Trail broadcast of Guthrie, Oklahoma, and your speaker is Willie Murphy. It is with a feeling of debt and obligation, both to God and His people, that we bring to you another weekly message. We hope you look forward with as much anticipation in hearing the message as we do in hearing from you when you write and tell us how you look forward to the Mission Trail. For the information of our new listeners and all who may care to write to us, I will give you this address once again. It is the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. If we may be of any spiritual help to you, be sure to let us know. Listen now to the reading of the scripture from the 4th chapter of Acts. I will begin with verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We see then a very interesting report here of some of the things which happened in the early morning church. Just before this time, Peter and John had performed a notable miracle upon a man who had been lame in his ankles for life. Through his faith and the healing power of the New Testament church, which had recently been set in order on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, this man was made to leap and walk. But please observe this, with the coming of the greater power to the church came also greater opposition from her enemies. Let me ask you a question right here. Why do you think the Sadducees objected to the healing of the lame man? Was it because they were interested in the crippled and the sick? Well, I hardly think so. Rather, we might say, they were stirred to resist the power of God which had been manifested by Peter and John. Therefore, Peter and John were in for trouble. In fact, we're told in chapter 4 and verse 3 that they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. I understand from this verse that Peter and John were put in prison overnight. I wonder how many listening to the sound of my voice have ever been in prison. This was no doubt a very dark outlook for those who are endeavoring to do the will of God. But I think they were not the least discouraged, even though the next day they were brought forth and threatened that they should henceforth speak no more in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, to some people, this would certainly be the end of their speaking for the Lord, but not so in the case of Peter and John. For I would like for you to especially notice my text again in verse 20. It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Of course, one must live a consistent life to bear out the fruits of the Spirit. Otherwise, nothing which they could say would merit them any favor in the sight of God. But a part of godly living is also speaking the truth. There is a time to be silent, and there is a time to speak. Therefore, one cannot always be silent and be a good witness for the Lord. The time will come when one must speak up for his Lord, or else the displeasure of his master will be upon him. Listen to this admonition given by Jesus himself in Mark 8:38. It says, "Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I am sure that most of us would not want Christ to be ashamed of us. Therefore, we should not be ashamed of him. If we are not ashamed of him, we should be ready to speak up in defense of the gospel. These apostles said, "We cannot but speak." Perhaps they were somewhat like the writer of the 39th chapter of Psalms. This man made the resolve to hold his peace when the wicked was before him. But he finally decided that in holding his peace, his heart was hot within him. And he said, "While I was musing, the fire burned." Therefore, we see in verse 3 that he said, "Then spake I with my tongue." We might consider the prophet Jeremiah, who had been receiving quite a bit of opposition. Some mocked him and made light of him. We read in chapter 20 and verse 9 how this affected him. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." So you see, when Jeremiah made such a decision to keep quiet and not to speak any more in the name of the Lord, it was as though he had a burning fire within his bosom. Then he realized that he could not forbear, but was willing and ready to speak in the name of the Lord and for his cause, regardless of all the opposition which might come. I would to God that each and every one of his children would so catch a glimpse of the need for them to speak in defense of the gospel that their neighbors, their friends, their relatives, and all who knew them, both far and near, would be thoroughly convinced that they have been with Jesus. Remember again the text which I first read. It says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Therefore, if you have heard and seen the things of God, why not speak up? Listen now to the poem entitled, "Reproducing the Master." Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in his way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell men how he died. He has no help but our help to bring them to his side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the type is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than his? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things his lips would spurn? How can we hope to help him unless from him we learn? Selected. Let us reverence our Father as we agree in a few words of prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would help each and every one of thy people to live a life which is becoming to the gospel of Christ. And then, just as the angel bid the women who were in sorrow as they came to the tomb of our Lord to come see the place where the Lord lay, and then go quickly and tell my disciples, even so, Lord, help us to go quickly and speak forth the words of our Master, for we ask it in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, I hope that we have been a blessing to you today. If so, we would be very pleased to hear from you, and if we may help you, be sure to let us know your request for prayer when you write. We trust that God will help each and every one of us to do more for Him, to be willing to give a sacrifice, make our lives an offering unto God that He may use in the way He would have it used to His glory. I'm sure that when we do this, not only will our friends at home know about our consecration to the Lord and our devotion to Him, but I am persuaded that we will be convinced that God would have us arise and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This would not only include those of our beloved land, but this would include those in the lands across the sea. May we catch a glimpse and a vision of the work which God has before us to do. Now, here is a song entitled Until Then, and is sung by Margaretta Kennedy, Dixie Hand, Kenneth Abbott, and Willie Murphy.
The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold a city. Until the day God calls me home.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. If you would like to have a printed copy of today's message free of charge, you may have one by simply sending us your request. Address it to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And now until next Friday night at 10:45, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours, and a very pleasant good night.
My heart will